Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, the Bible tells us in John 15:13 that there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, you can picture this in war. We can picture this as it relates to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But how can you describe this to a child in terms that the child could really understand? Well, my guest today is Charles Arison. He's been on our program before as we talked about forgiveness. As he described his journey from rage to forgiveness after his grandmother was killed by a mass murder in the 1990s. And you can hear that discussion in episode 652. Our discussion today is about a book he wrote in 2012 titled The Bee in the Blackberry Bush. And it tells the tale of a bumblebee that befriends a bird. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just let Charles tell the story behind the story. Praise God. Now, help me welcome back to the program, Charles Arison. Charles, it is so good to talk to you again, my friend.
Glad to be back. Glad to be back.
Okay, now, just for those that may not have heard our prior interview, tell us in your own words, who is Charles Arison?
The guy you're talking to right now, who sometimes happens to be a little sarcastic. I'm a pastor. If anybody sees my Facebook thing, you'll usually see that because I'm wearing a collar. I'm a pastor, but also more importantly, I'm a father, a grandfather now too, and a follower of Jesus. And that above everything else, that's what I want to be: the follower of Jesus, the disciple of Him.
Amen. Amen.
But I also write and blog a little bit too.
Amen. So let's talk about this book.
Okay.
Why did you write this book?
This book was actually, I had, at the time, my youngest, from a very young age, we'd read to her or I'd tell her stories. And we were out actually picking blackberries. We had blackberries in our backyard. And we were picking blackberries. And my wife and my daughter found this little bird's nest in the blackberry bush, and you could see there was part of a shell there, so you knew that something had hatched and grown there, and it was just sort of cute. And while we were picking blackberries, of course, I got buzzed by something. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't like me being there. So we went inside afterwards. My wife was cleaning it up, and was getting my daughter ready for bed. She said, "Daddy, could you tell me a story? Tell me one of your stories." I was like, "All right," and I sat down. And I thought about the day, and all the elements came together into this story. In fact, the story you read today, other than some small edits, is pretty much the exact story I wrote that night.
Oh, wow.
In just about a half-hour period of time.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, was there a discussion between you and your daughter concerning the subject, you know, a friend laying down his life for another friend?
No. In fact, actually, at the time, I wrote it, and I wasn't thinking about any of the morality involved in it or any of the morals that are involved with it. I thought about just writing a story, and it just came out. And it is with most authors. You write what you are, who you are, and what you believe. And afterwards, when I look back at it, it's like, wow, that's theological.
Yeah. Amen. It is. Just for those that are hearing us discuss this, tell us the premise of the story. Tell us about your book.
The book starts off talking about a little bee. This little bee has a nice, hardworking bee, just a typical bee, doing its business. And it goes out and is starting to get honey getting pollen, I should say, to make honey for the hive. It's attacked by chickens, and it runs and hides in a blackberry bush. Side note here, we had chickens, and we would often watch them chase bees and other things around. So even that was part of the elements bringing in. But back to the story. It went into the blackberry bush and sat on, found itself captured by a mama bird, small mama bird. And it was so, notice the bird was upset. And the bee asked, what's wrong? And the bee had said it lost its mate. And now it didn't know who was going to watch its eggs while it went out and tried to find food. So the bee, just being friendly, says, I'll help you. The bird is, of course, laughing because what can a bee do? But the bee buzzes the bird and says, and so the bee and the birds connect and make this friendship. Mm-hmm. And to make a little longer story, as the story goes on, they develop this friendship. The bird actually protects the bee at one point. The little birds grow out of the nest and they start to learn how to fly. But during this time, when the bee is watching, a cat comes by. Mm-hmm. A cat, of course, what it's going to do is eat the birds.
Right.
The bee tries to buzz it, distract it, but the cat's fixated. And there's only one thing left for the bee to do, and that's to sting the cat. The thing about bees, if you don't know this, when a bee stings something and it loses its stinger, it dies.
Yeah.
Now, that's, of course, sounds like, what are you doing killing the main character in the children's book? But
that's the example.
What happened was, earlier in the story, the bee had told the mama bird that she thought it was really amazing that birds could fly so high in the air. So as the bee is dying there, the baby birds say, what do we do? And the bird says, let her be a bird. And so the mother bird takes the bee, flies it high in the air, higher than she's ever gone before, so the bee can see what it's like mm-hmm. to be a bird.
Amen.
And so in the final moment of its life, the bee is seeing the world in a way it never could.
Yep.
And it just says thank you to the mama bird. And as the story ends, a mother, real mother, human mother, and a daughter find the bee in the blackberry bush, in the nest. They don't know what happened.
Right.
But as the story goes, the birds knew what happened
yep.
and never forgot the friendship of this unusual friend.
That's awesome.
Of course, the scripture is laid out.
Yep.
There's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend.
Yeah, that's awesome. What challenges did you face in trying to write a children's book, say, as compared to a regular book for your contemporaries?
Well, this was the first book I ever took on. I talked about writing stories and doing stuff, but I never actually put one down before, which is what's so amazing about this story. This book, more than anything else I read and also have written since, changed me. Because it took me through this process of where I was wanting to be an author mm-hmm. to what I am now. In fact, I was, in preparation for this, I was sitting down and writing some information down that I had dreams that I had at one time. And in about 2010, 2011, I was at a conference, little get-together, and somebody said, write down your dreams. Write down your three dreams. Even if you don't think they're possible, write them down.
Yeah.
And I wrote down three things. I want to write a book and be published. I want to get a master's degree, which, as far as I was concerned at the time, you know, I was in my upper 30s, in my 40s, it wasn't going to happen. You know, no way. And I wanted to be a full-time pastor. At that point, I was bivocational and also working as a hospice chaplain. Mm-hmm. But all these is like, yeah, this would be great sometime.
Yeah.
So I had never written a book. And a children's book, of course, you need to be able to illustrate. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have an illustrator. I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. I had never done any type of real editing to put a book together or how to put the format and everything, no clue how to do any of it. But about a year before I did this, my daughter, actually probably for a couple years, but I would write her little stories, as I had mentioned before. And she had looked at me in bed one night and said, Daddy, do other people read your stories? I said, well, no, I'd have to be a published author for that. And she sort of took that in, and I tell her the story, and then she said, Daddy, so when are you going to become a real author? I was like, man. Girl, I am a real author. I'm just not a published author.
Amen.
And I explained the difference. Then she'd wait a few nights, and then she'd bring up the same subject. Daddy, when are you going to become a real author? It's like, inside, you don't want to tell your child, shut up. I don't want to have this conversation.
That's what I was saying. So, she's calling you on the carpet.
But she was calling me on the carpet. My wife had been encouraging other friends and said, oh, yeah, you need to write. But I was always had that fear. And I finally, I had two things, I think, pushed me. One was the fact that she would ask that question. Mm-hmm. And then two, I heard this guy called John Acuff say something on the radio. He was being interviewed, and he said, at least this is the words I heard him say. I heard him say, it's better to be 80% and published than 100% in your head.
Yeah.
His words were actually be 90% and published. But for me, it's probably good I heard the 80%, because 90% probably would have scared me. And it dawned on me, like, it's better to get something out there and do something and not be perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Than to never do anything.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of 2011, I decided for my daughter's, for 2012, at Christmas, it was my New Year's resolution, I was going to get a book published.
Okay.
I had picked out the story, I'd worked it up the best I could, I had looked at other children's books and how they had things laid out, so I started to have an idea of how to do it, but I still didn't have an illustrator. I took the next step. I thought, well, I got to find something. And, well, the only way I know to do it is to talk to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to a few other people about what I was thinking about. And I sat down, and I could actually take you to the place where me and a friend of mine were sitting there together talking about life. I said, you know, the one thing that gets me, I said, I really want to write this book for my daughter. I said, I made a pledge that I was going to do it this year. I want to get it together. I said, but I don't have an illustrator. And I don't have anybody who can kind of edit it for me so I can get this together. Because I said, I'm doing the best I can, but
yeah.
Editing your own material is a bad idea.
Right.
He looked at me and he said, well, he said, I used to do some loose editing for a company I worked with. He said, and my brother does cutesy well. And if you ask him right now in his life, he might actually do it for free. Because he's never done anything like this before and has always thought it'd be he wanted to.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So just by me bringing it up, all of a sudden one or two of my biggest obstacles just fell into my lap.
Resolved, yeah. The Lord just said, okay, that's a problem. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Amen. And what's the name of your illustrator?
Don Lee.
Finally, because I want to give him some promotion here as well for helping you, because the illustrations are great. I mean, they really are.
I was when he sent me the what he called the concept drawing for the bee and the bird.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at him. I was just amazed and blown away. I showed him to my wife, and my wife actually cried.
Yeah,
she said, "That's your bee. That's your bird. He got it."
Amen.
And amen. So. That was about in August. And so by the time December came around, I did not have the book ready for Christmas, which was my goal.
Mm-hmm.
But I had it ready for 2 weeks later because my daughter's birthday is in the first week of January. And on her birthday, she got her copy.
Aww.
Of The Bee in the Blackberry Bush. It was for sale and on Amazon at the time. And I actually was a published author. In fact, if you go to my website, I actually have the link to the video that showed when she got that book.
Oh, cool.
And she gave me a hug when she got it. And then when I told her it was published, she just gave up and gave me a larger hug than before and said, you're a published author.
I mean, that's awesome.
It was awesome. And I realized that once you make up your mind to start doing something, mm-hmm. even when you don't have everything together, you start striving for it.
Yeah.
It's amazing what God brings into place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just happened to have a conversation with a friend who just happened to have done some editing, who just happened to have a brother who just happened to be an illustrator, who just happened to be willing to do this for me.
Yeah, and just happened to be available at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, these things don't just happen. And in fact, the interesting thing about it, the name of the book, the Bee and the Blackberry Bush, I had a generic name. I called it The Bee, the Bird, and the Blackberry Bush.
Okay.
And the friend who did the editing, Garrett Lee, he read the book. He gave me some insight on things. When he gave it back to me, because I'd printed it out, at the top of the page, he drew a line through my little title and wrote The Bee in the Blackberry Bush. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I know that's perfect.
Yeah, amen.
Because in that title, you actually get the end of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
And it was just, it was amazing.
Yeah. At what age level would you consider this book written at?
Well, it'd probably be from 6 to 8 year old, but you could probably read it for younger, because I've known other family members and friends who have taken it and they've read it to younger kids, mm-hmm. and they actually love the story. Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine who had a 3 year old who loved the story, and they said, "Read me the bee book."
Amen. What type of comments have you received in regards to your book?
I have lots of positives. I did get a negative review saying it was overly Christian, poorly illustrated. You had to watch out for that Christian comments and thoughts that are infiltrating the book. And it's like, okay,
yeah, is that a negative comment?
I think they meant it for negative.
Yeah,
it was
I know.
One star review.
Yeah,
but as somebody told me, he said, "You're not an artist until you get a one star review."
Yeah, you can't say you made it until at least somebody doesn't like what you're doing.
Right.
Anyway. Charles, you gave it was just a great example though of laying down one's life for a friend at the conclusion of the book. It was that a purpose when in the story that when you initially came up with the story, or is that just something that you had to figure out a way to end the book?
I think when I first started it, I realized where it was going to go. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately for the bee, there's only one way to really stop a predator.
Yeah.
Or stop an enemy. You know, you can try to scare it away by buzzing it, but oftentimes bees sting in order to keep away the predators, keep away the danger. Mm-hmm. And they do that willingly. It's part of who they are.
Yep.
They know they have to protect, you know, their queen, their hive, or if they're in danger, they know that's their instinct. To give down, lay down their life. And in our own Christian lives, of course, I tie this in, of course, with my Christian faith, is that it's not the fact we're looking for an excuse to die, but it should be part of our nature as Christians to be willing to lay down our lives. Maybe not physically dying, but laying down what we want help others.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, I found it interesting that at the end, the birds honored the life of the bee.
Yes.
I mean, that is so important today, you know, because I find, you know, life is not as highly valued today as it once was. And this book is a great example of loving others and helping others and honoring others, even when they're different from ourselves and our own cultural upbringing. I mean, the birds,
yes.
You know, the bird and the bee, they, you know, not only look different, they were different.
Yes.
You know, different objectives in life and all that. You know, the book even was talking about, you know, the bird would eat the bee normally. You know? So, in fact, at the beginning, when the bird landed on the nest and had the bee like stuck under its feet, it thought, "Oh, this is it," type thing. You know, but yeah. So it's great how you just wove all that together. I really love it. And,
Thank you.
Your book's still available on Amazon, right?
Oh yes. And, you know, when I said that this book was so valuable for me, the thing that it got it was for me was not just the book itself, that it, the story, and that it's a good story. And I've given away copies, and I've sold copies, and those it hasn't hit the world's bestseller list or nothing like that. I can honestly say, because they give indications of where the book ends up being purchased, there are books. This book is in every continent of the world, except maybe Antarctica. Mm-hmm. But all the other ones, I have evidence that this story has gotten all around the world, which is, to me, is exciting.
Yeah, amen.
But also for me to make that choice to become that published author. Interesting side note: I started in 2011. Said I'm going to get this done by the end of 2012. The book was finished. But then I started something called a master's program.
Mm-hmm. That's a little time consuming.
But I found a way, and the things came worked out, and I found some resources, and I started working on that. And as I was finishing up my master's in 2014, all of a sudden a position comes open, and I became a full-time pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the three goals that it's like, these are the things I want, are now fulfilled.
Yeah, amen.
And it was amazing to me how just taking that first step opened up other doors and gave me the courage to try to go further.
Yeah, amen.
And it's just been amazing. In the story, Bee in the Blackberry Bush, if you look it up, you also see it's published in three languages.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes. It's in Spanish. And it's in Laotian.
Okay.
And, you know, every author wants their book published in Laos, right?
Well, at least I know one. So.
Amazing thing. And here again, once you start taking those steps, other things open up.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking my master's program, and I was telling one of my people in my master's programs about the book I wrote. He said, "That's cool." So I sent him a copy of it. And he contacted me. He says, "I love this story. Can I please translate it into my language?"
Hmm.
I was like, "Yeah, feel free to."
Yeah.
He says, "And I want you to keep the royalties." I was like, okay. So he translated it into Laotian, and then he also sent it to his relatives in Laos to have them make sure he didn't, as he put it, Americanize it. And then he sent it back, and we got it put together and laid out. And now all of a sudden, I've not just got a bee and a bird published. I've got it in two languages. And a short time later, I had another relative say, "Oh, I've got somebody who might like to translate that into Spanish."
Cool.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
And they were a English-Spanish teacher that was originally from Mexico. And I contacted them, and they said, "Oh, yes, I would love to do this for you." And again, it was just all these things came together.
Amen.
Just because I took that first step. And the thing that you've got more amazing, the first cover, if you ever saw the first cover, it's ugly, actually. But I was encouraging somebody online about starting their business. Me and several others were in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And I encouraged him. Was one of the ones encouraging him to get going, and he came back later. He says, "You all were such an encouragement to me. I want to give back to somebody here." Amen. So he put your name in, and I'll pick one of you. And I was one that got picked.
Amen.
And so the design on the cover that you see today, he took the images that were in the book and brought them together to make them look beautiful. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Amen.
That picture you see on the front cover is nowhere in the book and has never been drawn.
Wow.
Those are all put together from different pieces.
Yeah.
And again, awesome. This is something I couldn't afford somebody to to come up with this cover. I mean, that's several $1,000 cover, I think.
Yeah.
Looking at it.
Amen. That's awesome.
But God brought it together.
Amen.
And that gave me the courage to write. And then all of a sudden, once I finally decided that I needed to share my story about forgiveness, and I did a revival service at my church, and we talked over several days about it, not just the story, but also about other elements of forgiveness. I thought, well, I've written a book. Why not write a book on forgiveness?
There you go. Yeah. So that started you down the path.
And that started me down this. And now at this point, I have, 10 books published?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
And the most recent one was the one about, was I journaled every chapter in the Bible.
Mm. Okay.
And it's not completed yet as far as putting into print form for other people to use. But all of this started because I wanted to write a story, publish a story for my daughter.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Charles, we're about out of time. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe ask a question or do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
You can try to Facebook me. I'm Charles S. Arison on Facebook.
Okay.
You can try to Skype me, C.S. Arison. A-R-E-S-O-N, that's the last name. Mm-hmm. If you hear the pronunciation, nobody ever spells it right. and then, of course, you could email me at csarison@gmail.com.
Okay, and what's your church website?
TellCityNazarene.webs.com.
Okay, I'm going to put links to all this down in the show notes below. Folks, this book really is a good read. I mean, even for adults. I found myself reading it, and it held my interest all the way through. Like I said, I usually give a cursory read, just skimming for highlights as I prepare for these interviews, but I actually read this book. It didn't take long, but it held my interest every step of the way because I wanted to know what happens next. You need to get this book for your kids, for your grandkids, for your church Sunday school program. This is a great children's book that perfectly describes the meaning behind John 15:13 in a way that will drive that point home for children. Amen? So don't just get one copy. Get several so that you can pass them out to your grandkids, your kids, your neighbor's kids. And like I said, at Sunday school, you can put one in every grade level of the Sunday school. Praise the Lord. Charles, thanks for coming back on the program and sharing about this book, man. It's an awesome book. It really is.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Charles Arison and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster. but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.